Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Welcome to the Bulldogs Fans Podcast. I'm Scott and I'm joined by Matt. How are you, mate?
I've recovered. Recovered from the heart attack I almost suffered watching the end of the Bulldogs game, Scotty.
Oh, geez, it was tight. But we got the win. The win with a lot of players out. And yeah. Some players moved on even through the week.
And that's all that matters, really. We'll say that last week we said this was a must win, and we got the win. So heart attack or not, 2 points or 20, it was a must win, and we got the win. So we'll take that.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more, but you could almost say an old dog did well, and a pup did well as well. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. But 18-16 in Wollongong, it was meant to be torrential rain. That was the forecast. It looked like a beautiful day in the Gong. I don't think they got the memo that was going to rain in north of 16,000 in the house at Wollongong.
Well, people from Wollongong are very proud people, Scott. They say it's a beautiful place, and it looked that way on the TV. Yeah, but the commentators mentioned that they were expecting about 13,000 in. Straight away, it was clear that it was a lot more than that. So, yeah, just short of 17,000. But, yeah, we don't like to make it easy, do we? Nail biter till the end, and I think we're happy, so we've got a lot more talking points than normal, perhaps. But we let so many opportunities go in that first half.
Yes, I was going to say, fair to say, Bulldogs by far a better side, but only got the win by two.
Particularly in that first half, we were clearly the better side, but to only lead by 10 points to four, we deserved more than a converted try lead at the break for sure.
A drop ball by Joshy Reynolds. He might have just got a bit excited, I think, seeing the line open, and then a drop ball by Matty Burton, the half dropping a potential chance. I think Matt Burton's one was a clear chance. Joshy Reynolds was a 50-50 if he got, he still had some work to do to get over the line, but even, quick play of the ball.
Good to see some opportunities start to create around the middle of the field off Matty Burton and off Reed Marnie's running game. So that was good. Penalty goal proved to be the difference, Scotty. Apart from that, same amount of tries, same amount of conversions. The penalty goal was the only difference. But Reynolds, we called for it. We called for him to be in the halves before the team was announced last week. We did the early episode and he provided exactly what we hoped he would. Direction, energy, passion. And he even shifted to lock when Carl Olaapu came on.
Yeah, what about the old boy, eh? He's still got some stuff in the legs. A bit of energy. You could see the way he kick chases in particular. Like, his kicks, I thought, were outstanding. I thought he's...
Especially those short ones or shorter kicks into the corner.
He's just hitting them on a dime. It felt like... It just went all right. But then the chase he followed up with, he doesn't kick it and let the outside man chase. He's leading him. He said, come on, boys, come with me. I'm a 34-year-old. If I can chase, there's no excuses for you boys not to chase. But even some of his long kicking, not a Burton. There was a Burton special from Matty Burton in the game. But even his long kicks, they weren't easy ones. I'm not saying they were near Burton spectacular, but he had some decent high kicks as well, Joshy Reynolds. So I thought he did his job perfectly.
He was essentially playing halfback but defending in the middle. And he provided, I guess, a safety net for Olaapu at times as well, particularly when Olaapu first came on. I was thinking to myself, okay, we've got Reynolds, Burton and Olaapu on the field. The good thing about this is if Olaapu does get tackled on Larkst or make perhaps a little mistake. You don't want your halves tackled on the Larkst tackle, right? Mm-hmm. You've got Reynolds there to provide that safety net. And as I was thinking about it, it sort of unfolded in front of my eyes. I think one of the first sets with Olaapu on the field. And it's not against the young guy. He was clearly playing a role. I don't think he had a kick in the whole game, but he was clearly playing a particular role that he was told to by the coaching staff. But he got tackled on the Larkst and saw Joshy Reynolds wrapping around from the left-hand side down the short side to get into first receiver and kick the ball into the corner. So that was, I think, a wrap to the coaching staff.
Hello, Apu. By the way, congratulations. Mm-hmm. Looks like an 18-year-old. Played like a 20, 1 year old, I reckon. You know, I thought he well done for a debut. A bit nervous too. He would have been thing, but you know, age. He was 6 years old when Joshie Reynolds made the debut for the Bulldogs. So there you go. Joshie Reynolds wouldn't like that one being said too much. Would make him feel a bit older than normal.
I heard that stat. Yeah, absolutely. Look, Ola Apu, while we're talking about him, I guess, he pretty much, apart from the kicking, pretty much did what he did in reserve grade, in top grade. So I don't think he did anything special, to be fair. I think he's playing a very, very basic game plan out there, which is fine in your first game, especially when you got Reynolds out there with you. But yeah, he had some nice touches. He looked good in body contact. He defended well enough. I suppose that is what you're looking for at age 18 and making the NRL debut in the halves. Played a lot longer than I was expecting. Well done to Carl. Good scenes after the game with the Tucker in the car park as well. But I was under the opinion that he should have played a full year of New South Wales Cup in the halves and learning how to play against men before coming up. But he held his own. It'd be good to see him add a few things to his game as it develops over the next couple of weeks, bringing in a couple of kicks. Because if you're going to play in the halves, you've got to kick. So adding that in is an obvious one, but also perhaps take the line on a little bit more. He takes the line on almost in slow motion, doesn't he? Benji Marshall high-stepping and zoom, away you go type deal. It's sort of like he gets the ball, shows it, Miranda's the defensive line. Someone tries to tackle him and he pushes through them. He must be very strong.
It's for young Carl, just for the fans as well, don't be surprised if he, you know, plays 3, 4, 5 games and then you see him back in reserve grade to play a full game. Because that's another thing about development. We don't want him stuck playing 40, 50 minutes off the interchange bench. There's importance of...
I think you can't do that now. 80. I think now that he's debuted, he could probably do that for a couple more weeks, but then maybe the game before the bye... or two before the bye, you'll start in the halves, I reckon. I reckon that's how that will play up.
I reckon Joshie Reynolds might say that number 6 is mine. but, you know, Joshie Reynolds will do what's best for the team. He'd be, if he thinks it's best for the team for him to jump on the interchange bench again, he'd be more than happy to put himself. But I don't know. I like the way it kind of works. It's like we've got a half who can't play 80. I don't know. I just like it. I thought it worked. He's the future. So if he's not getting more minutes off the bench, don't be surprised if he drops back just to reserve grade for a game or two to get the 80 in the legs. Back on the interchange bench again. So it's not that he's been dropped. It's just his development.
Yeah. Definitely a possibility. Wouldn't surprise me if it happened. But, yeah, I reckon we'll see him be in the starting side before too long. Big shout out to Braden Burns playing on one leg. Averillo did it a couple of weeks ago, but how tough was Braden on the weekend? That chase back and almost single-handedly holding up Fagai. And he followed that effort up with huge effort plays over the course of 80 minutes. He saved a 40-20 and the commentary goes, oh, he was casual there. But he wasn't casual. He couldn't move any faster.
I reckon build him a statue, give him a contract extension. That was one of the best wing performances. Not just for the Bulldogs, for anyone in a long time. And usually when you say your winger, you know, you look at Brett Morris, the 5 tries. And that was pretty cool. Even in a losing side, by the way, that's a pretty fun fact. But Rose went 5 in a losing side. But you don't. There's no tries there, Braden Burns. But the one leg for a good 70 plus minutes. It was early on in the game where he got a tackle and he was running gingerly, and you're kind of hoping that he'll run it off. But what MCL? He's got.
Yeah.
It's been there for 6 to 8 weeks.
Is it? Okay, I haven't seen anything like that.
The report was out late this afternoon just before the team list came out. So 6 to 8 weeks. That's almost Josh Morris in Origin when he chased out GI. That was how good that was. But, you know, he played the whole game.
He comes off, we don't win. So I reckon. Congratulations. to Burns, and thanks for that effort. Terrific.
But isn't it interesting, though, with Ockenbaugh on the bench, do you think there was ever the conversation that, you know, you're fine, like, we've got a winger on the bench, so if you're struggling, it's okay to put your hand up? Or do you think conversation was, last time Ockenbaugh played on the wing, Para, you attacked him and scored most of the points on him. Do you think there was a bit of a conversation saying, hey, he's no longer a winger in NRL?
Possibly.
How far can you push this before we...
Yeah. My I don't know. Obviously, we weren't there and a part of the team. But my judgment is Ockenbaugh's not a winger. So...
Yeah, so
I think he's future to the forwards. I think we've talked about that before. I wanted to give a huge rap to Corey Waddell. What a game, and what a try.
Did anyone ever tip that? Someone said something funny. Someone said, could you imagine if you were told that Corey Waddell's going to score the first try for kick to himself and that he was also going to follow a sin bin? Follow up with a questionable sin binning. That was that harsh call. Oh, cool. I don't agree with the call. I thought it was a bit harsh. I thought a penalty sufficed there. Especially the fact that he thought he still had the ball was another problem for a long time in that contact. Like you hear the referee. Yes, I saw Grant Atkins run to the opposite side, so I knew his call. But Corey Waddell has his, you know, in the ground. Don't think he had the best vision. But anyway. Harsh call against Corey, but what about that try?
It's incredible.
He just can't stop scoring them at the moment.
I'm going to say that's try of the season. Throwing in the shock value as well for the Bulldogs. So I was cheering that one in.
Happy for him. He deserves it. He genuinely deserves those moments.
He's been a bit of a workhorse. So to be fair, I couldn't believe he actually kicked it. Sorry, got the ball. I was like, oh, what's happening here? Kicks the ball. And I'm like, that's a great kick. And then all of a sudden, flying through like Billy Slater in the State of Origin.
Yeah, I thought this is going to be Corey. A repeat. He probably kicked up. Like, I'm hoping this is a repeat set.
I think Corey, I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but he might be happy with that comparison, I might say.
Yeah, he would be very happy.
Another shout out to Harrison Edwards. Now, I looked at his stats. It didn't look like... much to crow home about, but I thought he tried really hard, and I'm always impressed with watching him. I think he's going to be a very good player in the years to come. But I thought he had some impact in that first game starting prop, I believe.
Yeah,
I thought he handled it really well, and start of the game in particular, I thought he did really, really well.
Well, you know my opinions on Maxi King. Mm-hmm. I think I said a few weeks ago, though, I wouldn't be overly surprised if he's a smoky for Origin or 18th man or something, you know? Because consistently he stacks up the numbers all the time. He's been our best forward. Harrison Edwards wasn't even named on the team. Gets parachuted into the team. Then starts at prop for our best prop. There's no doubt that Max King is our best prop.
Mm.
So, you know, a bit of a... You know, a bit daunting for the young fella. You know, you're replacing, and you're not going on the bench, and we're going to shuffle the lineup to, you know, get someone else to. No, you're in. You're going to do it. Harrison Edwards, he just looks like a bulldog, doesn't he?
He does. He's got one of those looks.
Like an Andrew Ryan, Josh Jackson.
We've got a few of them at the moment too. Averillo, Alamotti, Morin. There's a few there that just look like Bulldogs for sure. So hopefully we see long careers out of them. I guess it would be remiss of us, Scotty, if we don't talk about probably the biggest beat-up story, I suppose, out of the game, the Reynolds referee situation. I didn't even have it on my list of things to talk about because it's such a non-event. The headlines keep rolling about it. So, yeah. So, as you all know, I'm sure you watched the game at halftime. Reynolds asked the ref, why was he penalized? The referee gave an answer, and Reynolds said it was bullshit. Referee took exception to it, which I thought was a little bit soft. He sort of overreacted there, the referee, for sure. The way he reacted, when the halftime was going and the TV was about to break for the ad breaks, the facial reaction from Grant Atkins, the referee, you would have thought it was something way more personal way more attacking of him as a person, the facial expression he pulled. And then it was a bit sort of underwhelming that all it was the BS, the bullshit word. He probably shouldn't have said it, especially in the aggressive tone, but what a beat up here.
Now, I was going to say, I have a general rule of thumb. I know I wrestle a couple of, you know, casual, you know, competitions. My thing is, if a player was to swear, not at you, but at the situation, I was generally okay with it. I would be like, yeah, that's fine. I might just make a quick comment. I'm not swearing. You don't have to swear. And that's where I left it.
Yeah.
That would be something what I would do. The way, yes, when it was caught up, I didn't hear it at first. It was only until, like, I looked at social media, maybe 4 or 5 minutes after, that you actually got the full clip of bullshit. Yeah. I thought he must have told him to get effed, or, like, that was where I would be like, no, you can't.
I really like Grant Atkins as a ref, but I think he might perhaps look back at that and think he overreacted as well.
Yeah, I think it could have just easily gone, mate, I'm not swearing at you. Or he could have easily gone, if you're going to say that to me, I've given you an answer.
Yeah.
We're terminating, like, you know, we're going to end this conversation.
He could have just said, don't swear at me, walk away.
Yeah,
that's all that was needed. Okay, before we get into the Player of the Year awards, Scotty, and might be moving through the podcast pretty quickly because there's a lot of topics this week. Is there anything else that I've missed there that you wanted to mention out of the game against the Dragons?
I was just going to say, just a highlight to Hayes Parrott. I thought, you know, he's shown glimpses of talent and. And sometimes I've said to you before, I think he sometimes oversteps too much sometimes when he's returning the ball. But there was a play where he got himself out of the in-goal line and you could have easily run himself dead.
Yeah.
And then Braden Burns spreads it to Avrilo. And Avrilo, too quick. And one of, like, you know, one of his better games. But, you know, like, that doesn't happen without Hayes getting out of the in-goal. And I know it sounds crazy. It was beautiful play, but, you know, I thought Hayes looked the most dangerous. I noticed him pushing support a bit more often, like he was around the ruck a little bit more, trying to see if there's an offload around, because that's something I haven't noticed him around, like sniffing around. He's kind of new to fullback, so maybe he's just getting used to the fitness levels, but that was probably the most dangerous I think he looked at the Bulldogs. And I've seen glimpses of him. I'm a fan of him. I'm a fan because I think he's going to make a great fullback. I think he's a good fullback now, but I think he'd be a great fullback. And I know I liked his game on Sunday. I thought it was fantastic. Well,
I think it's likely that would be his only season. Most likely Crichton, I'd say, would be fullback.
Yeah, but I know, but...
In saying that, I thought Adekar would have had a shot by now too. So who knows?
The star centre.
That's right. Player of the Year awards. I'm going to go first, Scotty. I've given 2 points. To Jake Avrilo, 11 runs, 241 run meters, 4 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks. His defense was something very noticeable this weekend as well. Don't think he missed a beat there. And of course, 2 tries.
And a sledge.
The sledge?
You've got a good sledge at one of the Dragons players. I don't know what that was about. There's a photo, kind of circling social media of him pulling a face at the Dragons after Corey Waddell's try.
Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know if that was a sledge or just surprise about the try.
Yeah, I don't know. He was looking at a couple of Dragons when he was pulling it off. I don't know if it was or if something was said about Corey Waddell, then he scored.
Okay, who's your 2 points?
My 2 points goes to the man with one leg. Braden Burns, like I said earlier, build the man a statue. Jesus, that was, I was sore watching him play, and I'm sitting on the lounge, comfortable lounge. Not the stats so much, but look, he's saved a 40-20. His combination with Avrilo was fantastic. His defending was defending well, attacking well, saving 40-20s, and then still cranking the meters. Was it 163? By any chance you got that in front of you?
No, don't have it in front of me.
Okay, sorry. It's not going to be pure, like, you know, his stats. It's just going to be his importance of the game, because I think you'll hit the nail on the head when, if Braden Burns goes off, we probably lose.
Absolutely. And Because I know
63 meters. There you go.
There you go.
And because 60 post contact, sorry.
And because I know who you've got for 1 point, would you like to announce that now?
Yeah, well, you've given him everything. It's Jack Avarillo. He probably should have got the 2 points, but the one leg Brandon Burns pimped him for me.
This may come as a surprise. It's the first time Avarillo has polled points in the Player of the Year award for 2023.
I'm shocked.
2 points from me, 1 point from you, and he was on both lists, so he gets a bonus point and jumps to about halfway up the ladder. My 1 point goes to Corey Waddell.
13. I knew it was coming. I was going to say, let me guess.
13 runs, 119 metres, 2 tackle breaks, a sin bin, and an incredible try. How could you not give points to Corey Waddell? Anyway, that gives our Player of the Year award. What are we calling it? Ladder race? Looks like this.
The Tommins?
Yeah, the Tommins. I meant the actual race. The current leaderboard. Current leaderboard, that's what we're doing. Okay, Max King is still the runaway leader on 13 points. Corey Waddell in second spot on 8 points. Jacob Carraz, 7 points, has an opportunity to add to that this week. Talk a bit more about that later. Mm-hmm. Braden Burns is next on 6 points, and Reed Marnie on 5 points. And just to highlight how important bonus points can be, the next position is tied between Josh Adekar and Jake Avarillo on 4.
There you go. Avarillo, you just said, just got on the board. He's with the Fox.
Yep, absolutely. Okay. So, moving along to some other results on the weekend. A painful loss in the New South Wales Women's Premiership Grand Final. The Mounties beating the Bulldogs 1-0. Unbelievable. A game of solid defensive efforts by both teams, brutal defensive efforts, if we're being honest. Remembering it's a 70-minute match.
Yeah.
A 67th-minute field goal was the early score, 3 minutes before full-time. Just an unbelievable scoreline, and it must be incredibly hard loss to take for the girls. To not let in a try in a grand final and give away the penalties for penalty goals and all that sort of thing, to almost be perfect in that aspect of defence and to lose by a solitary field goal. It's heartbreaking.
I couldn't imagine. Would it be better to lose like 60-0 in a grand final and just know that, you know, you didn't rise to the occasion?
So good enough, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't rise to the occasion, but losing 1-0 or like, you know, you feel kind of feel bad. Like, I started thinking of the Broncos and Cowboys grand final. Yes, that was 16-5 or whatever it is, or whatever the scoreboard was. I can't remember exactly, but like 3 tries each, or whatever it was.
Mm.
You kind of said both the teams, you wouldn't have been upset. Both the teams deserved the trophy in the sense that they both rose to the occasion, but only could be one winner, unfortunately.
Suppose the difference there, though, is that the Broncos could say we shouldn't have let in 3 tries.
Well, they shouldn't have let in the try full time. Yeah, I know that.
Any one of those tries.
Yeah, it would have been a reason for someone or something that, you know, got them upfield or, you know, misread in defense. But yeah, no, that's just unheard of. Like, I don't think that will ever happen again. And really, I'm just going to call it. It's not going to happen again. 1-0 is never, ever going to happen again. A 0-0 scoreline is much more likely.
Well, now that you said it, next year, I'm putting a bet on 1-0 scoreline.
It'll probably open the NRL round next year.
These things happen in pairs, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Replay grand final in the NSWRL happened again the following year. That's just one example. On to sort of happier news, the Harold Matthews Cup under-17 champions, the Canterbury Bulldogs, 32 points to 6 over the Newcastle Knights. Now, this was a 60-minute match. After 16 minutes, the Knights led 6-0. So it wasn't all the Bulldogs' way. We did level the scores at 6-6 in the 37th-minute mark, so just after halftime, and took the lead 8-6, courtesy of a Bronson Rubin penalty goals. It took 10 minutes from there to score our second try, but our third try came 5 minutes later, and we ran away with it in the second half. Interesting that halfback Mitchell Woods was named Man of the Match, and that's a name that we've mentioned on this podcast quite a few times now in the Harold Smithy Cup.
Yeah, definitely has been.
So definitely a name to look out for there. And before we move on there, just wanted to give a shout out to and congratulations to all the grand final try scorers. So Talis McNewell-Welsh in the 25th minute, Mohamed Hadid in the 41st minute, Christopher Backloof in the 49th minute, Jope Reich in the 53rd minute, and our man Mitchell Woods in the 59th minute. Bronson Rumble, by the way, kicked 6 from 6.
Perfect. That's don't see that too often in a lot of games, you know, for grand final. Nerves are still.
That's it, yeah. And you got to feel, I'll say this quickly, a little bit sorry for the Newcastle Knights. They lost 3 grand finals on the day. So the Newcastle Maitland Knights lost the Women's Country Championship grand final to, I believe it was, I've lost the name. The Southern Regional region just above the Victoria border. Marina? I've completely lost the name there. And then they've gone on to lose the Harold Maffey Cup to us, of course. And then they lost the FG Bull grand final to Parramatta Eels. So not a great great day for Newcastle fans, but made the grand final at all 3 grades, something to take away.
Yeah.
I say all 3 grades, I mean in those 3 grades.
Yeah, a bit of talent to come through. If it's with the NRLW pathways or obviously, of course, the NRL pathways.
Absolutely. And the Tasha Gale grand final was on Saturday as well. The Bulldogs lose the under-18 Tasha Gale Cup 26-22. Fantastic effort from our girls to make the grand final.
Yeah, against the Indigenous Roosters side?
That's right.
Yeah, they're a good side. I've seen them a little bit, actually, this year.
They've gone. I think they've become the first team to go back-to-back. I believe in the Tasha Gale Cup, the Indigenous Academy Sydney Roosters.
That's very interesting for like an Indigenous side, just purely.
Yeah.
To just win, like you know, a bit of hurdles they have to challenge, you know.
Absolutely, and shout out to. Yeah, congratulations to our grand final try scorers, Tatiana Finu, Tali Dennis, Noria Kapua and Abia Ross. Tatiana Finua also kicked 3 from 4, go down by 4 points in that grade in the grand final. But again, a big congratulations on being there on the day. You can definitely see the Bulldogs improving in the women's game in the New South Wales Rugby League.
That was good because when we had Lynn Anderson as our first guest, that's something she spoke about, was making sure that we get it right on those levels, not just to bid for a team because we're the Bulldogs and just kind of go in because we're like a powerful club, popular Sydney club. We got all those now, but our women's team a couple of years ago wasn't too crash hot. So it was getting them right, recruiting, you know, putting the effort, the training and development in the women's before we actually put a hand up. Like, we're taking it very, very seriously. So it's good to see, you know, she's not there now, but it's good to see that that's continued. That was her goal.
Absolutely. And I think, to be fair, it's probably come a long way in the last 18 months as well. Seen a real difference in the last 18 months. So probably a congratulations to Phil Gill, the football director as well, in the last little bit. Definitely taking strides in the right direction, and Aaron Warburton as well. And obviously, it's official. We want the 2025 license, one of the two new licenses for 2025. If I get my way, the Warriors will be the other team too. How good would that be?
Yeah, I can't argue with that. I can't argue. We're going to.
Okay. And before we get into a couple of talking points, let's quickly touch on this weekend. As everyone knows, it's Magic Round. So Bulldogs get to open the Magic Round this week, 6 p.m. Friday, Suncorp Stadium against the Canberra Raiders.
I don't think we've won one. A Magic Round game.
Well, if you got to bring that up, you should come with the stats.
No, it just hit me just now because I remember losing against Newcastle up there, but I'll take a look while you continue.
Okay. Bulldogs team list. Hayes Perham's the fullback. Jake Carraz returns on the wing. That's a fantastic inclusion. Declan Casey on the other wing. Jake Averillo and Paul Almonte in the centres. The halves, Josh Reynolds and Matt Burton up front. Max King, Reed Marty, Tevita Pengai Jr., Corey Waddell, Jacob Preston in at the second row with Raymond Tala Mariner at lock. The bench is Carl Alapu, Jaden Ockenbaugh, Franklin Pele also returns from injury from that fractured arm, and Samuel Hughes. The reserve list is Curtis Morin, Jackson Taupini, sorry, Harrison Edwards, Kyle Flanagan, and Blake Wilson. Good recognition for Blake Wilson there being on the extended list there. So a fantastic season in a couple of the lower grades there. Match official, currently striking out 4 wins from 20 games, Chris Sutton.
Why do we keep getting him?
Well, I was actually looking at his record. We didn't get him at all last year. Interesting enough.
There you go. But it was a touch touch on the weekend.
Mm. Right, yeah, couple of the refs back up. Yep. For sure. Hopefully that rubs off on him, eh? It's going to be a tough game, I reckon, against the Canberra Raiders, but the fact that they came away with a win against the Dolphins last week and how emotional it was could have taken a big toll on them. And even though we got a bit of a shorter lead into the game, I think it's definitely a game that we should be able to win, Scott.
Yeah, it is a winnable game. Like, we've got a few winnable games because even the Warriors after, who were a little bit of a pickle with injuries.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that's still a danger game.
No, it's a danger game, no, for sure, but it's now becomes winnable. Like, we should have won. It was a referee blunder what gave the Warriors the win.
Except, apparently, it wasn't. Thank you, Graham Annesley.
No. Oh, it was. You don't have to watch Rugby League for a game to know that wasn't right. But, so that will give them a lot of confidence that they should have won. To answer my thing, no, we've never won a Magic Round, including a loss to the Raiders as well. Okay. We got close to beating the Raiders. We lost to Knights twice, which is...
Time to change that around.
Yeah, so you know when sometimes they stay stuck when some teams won so many in a row? Like, seem to lose, or they've never lost to here, and it always seems to be up. We've never won, so therefore, surely that changes the name a little bit so we can get our first one. But yeah, but this... Game. It's interesting because the Raiders are, to me, one of the inconsistent teams of the competition.
Mm.
I don't know what you're going to get from them.
They've won their last three and had a bye in the last 4 weeks, so they're pretty much perfect last 4 weeks.
No, yeah, their last one, but I don't know. I thought they could have probably done a bit better against the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins had a lot of missing players, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't think, like, they're getting the wins. Like, that's promising. Like, you know, not playing well, that's always a good sign when you're not playing at your best and you're still getting the wins.
Mm.
But, like, I think, you know, we've got Max King back. He was meant to be out for 3 weeks. So it must have not been as bad as original thought. Injury. But, like, I don't know. I don't think they can get away with, if they play like they're against the Dolphins, they're definitely going to invite the Bulldogs into the game. They got very lucky with the core. A knock-on leading up to a field goal. Could have changed the game to Dolphins' way, but, you know, that's footy, I guess.
We let go a lot of opportunities as well, especially in the first half, so I guess that could go both ways.
Yeah, but it's definitely, we should be somewhat confident, short turnaround, though. But, yeah, hopefully, you know, if we get this win, you know, when players starting to return, going into a bye in a couple of weeks, we said we had to win at least, was it two?
Yeah, we said two. It was crucial to win two games. We got the one, so that takes a little bit of pressure off. I think that means we can really attack this game against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And hopefully pull off a win. Like, yeah, if we do get three wins, that would be out of the next, or last week's game and the next three games. Heading into the bye, that would be incredible. But, yeah, two I think is crucial. We've got the one, and one definitely had to be against the Dragons when you look at the opposition that we're playing against.
Another one we've got is the Titans coming up. Is that correct? Titans before the bye?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me again. And it's throwing stuff at me tonight.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sorry.
We did go through it last week, but that's...
Yes, there's the Titans before the bye. That's another team that you, geez, they put away.
We could go and win that game relatively easily, or we could go and they score 36 points in the first half, and we haven't scored that many points in the whole game. So,
no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, definitely you go in with a bit of confidence, but Jesus, the Titans chasing down the the Dolphins chasing down the Titans. You know, they back it up by beating Manly and Manly like it's nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's what's happening with the Titans. Like, you know, you don't lose. I thought, you know, I know it's a Bulldogs podcast, but we're versus the Titans. I thought eventually, I thought if you're winning 26-0 and you lose that game, that would, you know, shatter all confidence. And I thought Manly can't lose this game. There's no way Manly are going to lose. No way in hell. And then the Titans come out and, you know, do it quite comfortably.
Yeah, well, Cynic would say that proves Manly is a one-man team, eh? Even if that one man's only at 60%.
Yeah, that's a fair point, yeah.
All right.
So I don't know. But anyway, we've got an interesting draw coming up. They're all winnable. I mean, I guess every game's winnable. But
about other teams, the Tigers showed us that, didn't they?
Who tipped that, eh? Who tipped that? But how good is it to see? Especially that we won too, because it kept the gap. It still kept the gap between us, even though we've gone up. But
and we're,
it would be good if we didn't get the win.
We've got a bike and Tigers fans. Let's just keep that in mind. Okay. Moving on. A couple of talking points, Scotty. I noticed. Actually, before we do that, hold the phone. We've lost a couple of players.
We did. We lost two.
Yep, Andrew Davey and Brandon Clark were released from the club last week.
Andrew Davey, I believe I read 81 minutes of football for the Bulldogs in these two games. I thought he played all right.
Back it up after injury and shipped back off to the old team. That was a bit of a surprise. Brandon Clark also let go. I guess we could talk. There's a little bit further down on our talking points there, so we'll touch base on that, I guess, again in a second. Somebody that caught my eye last week, Scotty, during, I believe it was the midweek press conference, Cameron Serrato. Now he's saying players who, quote, probably shouldn't be playing. He mentioned Karaz as well, shouldn't have played in round one, and it's very pleasing to see our players put their body on the line for the club and for each other. Now, it's not the first time he said this, and we've wrapped Braden Burns today for the effort that he put in against the Dragons, and if he didn't do that, we'd probably lose. However, we do have a high casualty ward at the moment. That list is quite big, even though we've got a couple of returning this week. Is part of that because of that fact?
Is that they shouldn't be in this? Yeah, they're getting injured because they're already carrying something into a game.
Yeah, players are playing injured. You mentioned a couple of weeks ago that certain players were continuing to play injured because with the amount of major injuries, I guess we had that they had to play. The biggest point I'm going to make here, Scotty, is Jacob Karaz, round one, played when he probably shouldn't, is the quote from Serrada. Surely round one, if they're not 100% fit, you've got a full season ahead. A player like Jacob Karaz doesn't play, right?
Yeah, and you had Brandon Burns 18th man as well.
In that case, he was struggling with an ankle injury all year as well, though. But
a couple of native men was not doing well. Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, that's the main point. Surely in round one, you take your 100% players and you go with that, knowing it's a long 27-round season.
Yeah, and that was, you add to it too, that was quite a warm day in Manly. It was like 30-odd degrees early in the year. It wasn't the Belmore heat, but it was still hot. For a footy game. So add that to, you know, the mix as well. That doesn't help injuries. You know, the heat doesn't, you know, you'll be 100% fit and playing a 30-degree day and you feel like you're going to pass out. So, no, good point.
Well, I guess it's something to look at going forward, I suppose. If the injury crisis doesn't let up, perhaps there is something going on or some standards at the club or something like that where it's, you know, maybe contributing, perhaps, to the injury crisis, if you want to use that word.
Well, is Maxi King, just quickly, 3 weeks, injured, back after a match. Now, is he the fastest healer in the world? Or is he another player who just said, hey, you know, my ribs are not as bad anymore?
Andrew Davey can't have contact with his hand for 3 weeks, plays the next week.
But then he doesn't have a hand brace.
Well, these we can only go off the stories that are in the public, right? We're not in the wars. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes. So every bit of, I guess, negativity that we say is coming from a loving place, but also a place of what's in the public domain, what we're judging of. Something that really irked me, though, Scotty, Cameron Serrato at Giants AFL training. Okay, now if you want to go to clubs, how about you go to successful ones and learn from the successful clubs? So I don't know who's at the top of the AFL at the moment, but Collingwood's a big team. Essendon's pretty big. Whoever's going good, shouldn't you be going visiting them to get shared ideas and practices? But the thing that peed me off the most was our coaching staff wearing Giants gear. Now, if our staff is showing up at competitors' training sessions, and that's what they are. We're in the entertainment business, rugby league, and the AFL is a competitor in that space. If we are going to a competitor's training session while representing our club, why the heck aren't we wearing our colours?
No, 100%. And I would have thought as well, like you said, I don't know too much about that sport, but I do know the Giants haven't always been up. And for the overall history, I think it's safe to say they haven't been that great. They've had some decent years. The Swans, weren't the Swans looking fun last year?
No idea. Absolutely no idea.
Wouldn't you, if that was the case, go to the Swans? It's only down the road. If they were in the grand final.
Yeah, well, you got the Western Sydney connection or whatever, but like when you go to a business meeting in your world, I'm not mean you, I mean anybody, you don't just put on the uniform of the company that you're meeting with. You're representing the company you're with. I don't know, that really hurts me. You don't put on competitors' colours. And Sorrelli did say apparently the Giants have a new coach as well, so they're in a similar situation, so it's good to get in there and work together. Well, surely an experienced coach would want an experienced coach to bounce ideas off, not another person in the same boat. I'll leave that one a little bit because I don't really know what's going on in the AFL world, nor do I really give a shit. But, I don't think that's on.
Just a fun fact, apparently the Giants won closely as well on the weekend. Just thought that was a bit funny how both teams won tightly. Can they stop saying maybe win in tight contests? I'd like a comfortable win so I don't have a heart attack like you mentioned earlier. So there you go.
Okay. We'll leave that there. Okay. Now, in the middle of an injury quotation crisis, Bulldogs released two players, Andrew Davey and Brandon Clark. Davey's been playing first grade for the last 2 weeks before this, made his club debut against Parramatta, injured his hand. We were told no contact on the hand for 3 weeks. Plays the following week, then released to the Eels. We touched on it a second ago, but how did that happen?
Yeah, especially in that position.
Now, as soon as I heard that Andrew Davey had been released immediately to the Eels, I was waiting on some sort of swap deal, Scotty, to come out. Yeah. Especially because the Eels announced Davey's signature and the Bulldogs have made no announcement. So you're thinking, oh, well, this has got to be part of the bigger plan. There's a swap happening. We're getting a different player. Something's happening. They're just waiting for that to be all, you know, signed off and all the appropriate people across it before releasing it. That has not happened.
Yeah, no, it's weird because I would have thought Davey would have started on the weekend.
Well, he probably couldn't because he wasn't named in the
No, but obviously the deal would have happened before the team announced. Obviously the Bulldogs announced a team. But with the injury of Max King, if Davey was still there, he's definitely playing.
Well, didn't we have an issue with that last year with a player that left our team and we found out because he was listed in another team lineup?
Yeah, because I did it. I was very stupid because I posted that because the Tigers, it was Brent Naden you're talking about. Tigers didn't announce anything until after the lineup. The Bulldogs didn't announce anything at all.
Hmm.
And I took a screenshot and was like, Brent Naden's got dropped so bad. I think I captured it. And he got dropped to the opposition thing, thinking that's actually quite funny because I thought it was a typo that Brent Naden was actually our 21 or 22 or whatever the jersey he wore. He ended up playing that game, but he was in like one of the reserve numbers. I thought it was a typo they switched. And I was trying to think, who do they switch with? Because the other four are all Bulldogs players. So how did they get Brent Nade on the wrong side and which player is actually not playing? I was thinking which player is actually not in the reserve list in the first place for about 5, 10, 15, whatever it was. The Tigers making a quick announcement saying that he agreed to play for the Tigers. Like, you know, Tigers, yes. We had to wait for the team this Tuesday.
Yeah, let's get into the real prickly part of this, the part that's annoying me here. So two players... Andrew Davey get released to Parramatta. How do Bulldogs members and fans that pay their money to support the club find out? A Parramatta Eels press release.
Yes.
That's disappointing in itself. Gus finally confirms it on his own personal Twitter account. No email sent to members. No post on Instagram. No tweet from the official club's Twitter account. Just... retweeting Gus's tweet.
Yeah, even as a professional thing, like, I don't know why Davies left, especially how soon he was into his contract. I don't know if Paris came in and given him, like, a guarantee, and then we've gone, well, we can't guarantee you, you know, top 17 every week. So we wish you the best. But not even, like, you know, when a player always leaves, there's always a thanks for your service, no matter if you've even donned the top grade, if you're in the top 30, if you played a game or not. I know he only played two games, but like not even a statement being released saying, we thank Andrew for, you know, the efforts why he's representing the Bulldogs. Because I'm sure he's done some other activities as well as playing the Shells Cup, but also other things off field. He's in an ad, what gets played at a core stadium. At home games, about gambling awareness and stuff. So that might have to be edited quickly.
So that's pretty poor form, I think. Now, Gus Gould, the godfather of rugby league, or so he likes to think of himself as, he is never wrong about anything. He was actually confronted by a fan on Twitter who rightfully pointed out that as members and fans, we don't know what's happening at the club this particular fan supports. I think that's a fair statement given the timeline that was put out earlier. I think that annoyed me there is the arrogance of the reply from Gus as well, claiming that in fact we are the most open club in communication. Now, just remember for a sec, guys, no email, no Instagram post, no official tweet from the official club account. So, if you're a Bulldogs member or fan who doesn't have Twitter, or you do have Twitter but you're not following the great Gus Gould on Twitter, you don't deserve to know what's going on at your own club. That's the message that was spurred last week. That's the only logical reasoning there. Listen, if I've got this completely wrong, you tell me. There's no official communication at all from the club, only a tweet from a personal Twitter account of someone that works at the club, and that is the most open club communication between any club and their members.
Now, I've seen players being released from other clubs mid-year, and they might make the announcement first that the player's been released, but they won't announce where to. I've seen it with the Warriors. I think Ben Merlin-Silla. When he was released. The Warriors made a statement saying that he's released and we wish him all the best, but opted not to announce which club because it was up to the club to put the announcement in. And the Dragons were a couple of hours later announcing the signing of him. Nothing wrong with that. The Warriors didn't spoil the Dragons party in announcing that he was going to the Dragons. They didn't say, we wish him all the best at St. George Illawarra, which would really ruin that. They just pretty much announced saying he's moving to Australia, which was good because the rest of the competition's in Australia. So didn't eliminate teams, didn't say he was moving to New South Wales or whatever.
Mm.
But yes, you can do it. We could have made an announcement before the Eels made an announcement saying that Andrew's been released.
Mm.
Also, but thanking him as well. And we didn't have to spoil Parramatta's party either. Parramatta could still had the big grand.
Mm. Have I missed the mark there, though?
No, I don't think
apparently,
you have.
Apparently, if you don't have Twitter, you're not following Gus. There's no other way to find out this information because there's been no official communication. It's pretty much saying that you don't deserve to know what's happening if you're not following Gus.
There's nothing on Bulldogs.com either.
Mm.
Saying this, even if you just search the website or you got the app, the Bulldogs app. But no, there's definitely ways we could have.
And as of time of recording this, I'll check my inbox. Scotty, there's still no email communication about anything that happened last week. I think that is incredibly poor. Now, I don't know if this is me getting riled up now because I'm already annoyed, but his response to someone asking about Brendan Clark, by saying Gus had a good opinion of the player, so why did we let him go? Gus confirmed he did and said, so you know it must be a good reason why we let him go then. How do we? Because that's your opinion?
Yeah, but now I start to think, right, and I don't want to assume anything. So this is, but when I read that, actually, I remember reading that now. I start to think, did he do something off field that, you know, he's been released for behavior? Now, if he hasn't, I don't know. I thought of that straight away, right? We don't have any facts. The matter of fact is not in front of us, right? I'm assuming that I'm now judging his character without a fair call, or people would have had like a quick judgment of his character. That's an unfair thing to have on Brendan Clark, I think. I think personally, like, we don't know. It could have been that he asked for a release because he had a better offer at this club that they will announce it this week or whatever. We don't know. Or it could have been a behavior issue. It could have been he put the game in disrepute and the Bulldogs cut him straight away. Or whatever it is. But now, seeing how we're making all this speculation, it's now judging him as a person that we don't have anything to judge as well.
That's another way of tanking it. But the point I'm getting at here is that we are apparently the most open, communicated club with our members of fans. However, all we've got to go off is that it must be a good reason because Gus had a high opinion of him.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been a bad reason because Gus liked him. That is the extent of the open communication between fans of losing players from top 30.
No, that's actually, I wasn't even thinking of that, but when you linked that back, that was really well linked, by the way. I'll give you a kudos on the link.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we've got two players who left us.
Don't know why. There's been
don't no announcement. Know why. We have nothing on, because in that announcement, like, I'm going to use the Warriors of Ben Marcilla again, because that was how a club communicates with their fans. The Warriors. I think they do a decent job. I think you'd agree on that. But they said they released him because he was guaranteed more opportunity. The guarantee to his new club. It was all about him having opportunity, right? So there's your reason behind it. Was that he wasn't going to get what the Dragons were offering him without announcing the Dragons were offering him. Was beyond that contract. I think it was the extra couple of years or extra year or something on top of what he had at the Warriors. The Warriors were going to make him either earn it or they've even made the conversation saying, no, you know what, your contract's going to expire with us. We're not going to even worry about it after expiry. So they said, hey, this is the reason why we released him, because it's best for him that, you know, he has that extra year or whatever it was, right? Andrew Davies signed the same contract that he has at I'm talking about the length of the deal, the Parramatta deal. They've just taken the length of the deal to what he had at the Bulldogs. So we don't know. We don't know if it's because there was more top grade opportunity offered to him at Parramatta. We don't know if it's because, you know, he did something at, you know, something happened at the Bulldogs and he's fallen out of flavour type of thing with the squad. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And that goes back to communication. Now, obviously, clubs are not going to communicate everything to every member and fan because obviously it's a competitive market and, you know, some things need to stay secret, all that sort of stuff to hold on to that competitive edge. But say we're the most openly communicated from club to fans, and to have, I'm not going to repeat it, but to have that play out the way it did, that, to quote the great Paul Vorden, that'll do me. Now, it feels a bit weird to finish on a negative, especially after such a good win on the weekend and a critical win that we're saying. I do want to say Aaron Warburton has always been open in every time I've tried to speak to him as well. So obviously we've done it well in the past as well, in communication from the club. But I thought last week was not the best. Was not the best in that aspect. Magic round this weekend, Scotty, against the Raiders, definitely able to win it. Hopefully we don't go 4 wins from 21 games with Chris Sutton, and hopefully we get our first win at the Magic round event.
Also, just to add to that as well, just the overcommunication, Max King is not a guaranteed start to play. Gus has revealed that he's still got to go through fitness testing.
Yeah, I kind of assume that would be the case, given what's happened there. Short turnaround.
It's supposed to be 3 weeks, yeah. Yeah, it's not even a week from the game we played.
Absolutely. Yeah. All righty. Well, until next week, go the Bulldogs. If you get up to Magic Round, enjoy it. Hopefully it's a good trip. Something I want to do in the future. But go to the Bulldogs this week, and hopefully we come away with back-to-back wins.